Hey everyone, my name is Luke Vincent. I have been a member of Verity Baptist Church since December 2016. I actually came to Verity in December 2016 and moved within a few weeks in January 2017 to Verity Baptist Church. And that is where I met Pastor Pizarnski, Pastor Stuckey, Pastor Jimenez at the time. And later on, I got married that year, and I've been there ever since. Been married there, I've had my kids there, so on and so forth. And I love Verity, I do. And Verity's been a great church for me. Roger Men has been a great impact on me over the years. So really quick before I jump ahead of myself, I want to say the main purpose of this video, there's two big reasons. The main purpose is to explain to the Verity family, why I left Verity. And what and why I think the Verity family should know that they don't know yet. Or maybe they have heard at this point from Sean Ava's testimony, but I want to give some of the things that I found out and how I confirmed what Shaw and Ava had already known. First of all, let me say that I care about Roger Jimenez and his family. And they have done so much for my wife and I, my family over the years. I, like I said before, I got married there, had my children there, buried a child there, grew in the Lord there at Verity. And I am very much so grateful for all that Roger Jimenez has done for my family and the church has done for my family. It's made a huge impact on my life. Pastor Pizarnski also, over the years I've known him. He actually was, he donated towards the GoFundMe that somebody set up for when my son Titus passed away in 2019. And Pastor Pizarnski has been good to me over the years as well. I want in this video, I want to warn Roger Jimenez because I care about him. Because I care about his family. Ezekiel 3, verse 20 through 21 says, "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand." Verse 21, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul." I feel like I owe it to Roger to warn him. And I care about Verity and I want to warn them as well. Proverbs 24, verse 10 through 12 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Verse 11, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain." Verse 12, "If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it?" And I take this verse to mean that if I know Verity is a sinking ship and I know that people should not be going there anymore, don't you think that I should be warning people? Absolutely. I absolutely should. This is a biblical principle. There's a verse that's being thrown around in Verity to be used against me and against Brother Shaw and Ava and other people. We're talking about things that we have found out and confirmed. And they're using this verse to say that we're wrong, that we're sinning against God, we're trying to cause division, that we don't care about the people of Verity, that we want to just burn it all down. Those are not true statements. We don't want to burn down Verity. We care about the people of Verity. This verse is Proverbs 11:13. It says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Now, let me just really quickly say this. This verse is not saying that all secrets should be kept a secret and not revealed. What it's obviously referring to, like gossip or slander or just things of that nature. I want you to consider a lot of other verses really quick, please. I'm going to give a bunch of verses as to why I feel that God is on my side and on Brother Shaw and Ava's side in talking about these things and exposing it. Leviticus 5 verse 1 says, "And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity." 1 Timothy 5, really quick, you know, that verse was saying, you know, if you witness something and you know whether it was seen or you're a witness in some sort of situation and you didn't come forward, you know, that sin, that iniquity, you'll bear. 1 Timothy 5:19 through 20, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Notice this, in the same context as accusations against elders, it says, "Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear." This is in the same paragraph. "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may fear." This is why I believe, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, that the sin that Roger Jimenez had committed needs to be rebuked before all. And when I say sin, singular, I should be saying sins, because not only is it a moral sin now, it's also theft. This needs to be rebuked before all. Don't want to get ahead of myself. Matthew 18 talks about telling it out of the church, you know, when somebody's unrepentant and there's a case that needs to be resolved. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Proverbs 27:5-6 says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend." And you know, I may be openly rebuking Roger in this video, but I'm doing it out of love, because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." And those are great verses why I believe that God is on my side and on Shaw and Ava's side, for not only talking about these things that I'm about to talk about, but also leaving verity. I'm going to outline the rest of the video this way. First, I'm going to talk about the transition from January until verity, before I knew what was going on behind closed doors. Secondly, I'm going to go back in the same timeline with everything that I found out from Shaw and that was going on behind closed doors that I later confirmed to be true. And I'm going to explain how I confirmed it all to be true, and then why I left Verity and the moment that I decided that myself and my wife were leaving. And I guess I might be getting ahead of myself when I say this, but there's a lie in Verity right now that my wife decided to leave. And I'm going to just tell you right now, we would have been there Sunday afternoon. We would have been there Sunday for church. We would have been there at church tonight, Wednesday March the 18th. That was the plan. But on Saturday, after soul winning, I called my wife and I said, "We're leaving Verity." Don't want to say too much there, but let's go back to from the transition from January until now, before I knew what was going on behind closed doors. So let's go back to January 2nd. On January 2nd of 2026, January 2nd, 2026, my wife and I had Roger and his wife over for dinner. And at the time, you know, I felt like he was very uncomfortable, didn't seem very talkative, wasn't really sure why. Looking back, I know why. This was on January 2nd. Later on January 15th, we received a text from the church that said, "This message is for the men of the church. Pastor Meadows is calling an urgent and confidential meeting tonight, Thursday, January 15th at 7 p.m. This is a serious matter and your presence is strongly requested." Sorry, excuse me. "No children or anyone under 18 is allowed. We apologize for the short notice." Roger, at that during that meeting, read his resignation. That was pretty much the same as the Facebook post that he posted a couple of days later on the Verity page. Oliver and Graham both got up and said some things that they were thankful for that Roger had done over the years. Graham mentioned that he begged Roger to not step down, and he said he didn't think that he needed to step down. And both Oliver and Graham made it clear that they were saying that this was entirely Roger's decision, and he was in no way forced or pressured to step down. After that meeting, I didn't have this in my notes. Everyone had an opportunity to say something before Roger Menes left. And I told him, one of the things I asked him was if we could keep in touch, and that'll be important later. Oliverity was in shock and sad at this time. I have not cried as much as I did that day. And when I got in my car after that resignation, in many, many years, probably since my son passed away in 2019. So I only say that to say, I care very much about Roger Jimenez and about Verity. Anyone who says otherwise, you're delusional. I'm sorry. You are delusional. During that time, there was mixed feelings about whether or not this mortal sin should be revealed. Some thought it should be revealed. Some thought it should not be revealed. Some thought it should be revealed on the internet. Some thought it should only be revealed to the men of Verity. On Saturday, January 17th, Oliver Gonzalez requested to go soning with myself. We went soning, and during our conversation, we talked about the resignation, and Oliver continued to convey that Roger, entirely on his own, stepped down, and no one at church should expect him to reveal the sin he had been committing or committed that caused him to step down. At this time, I agreed with him. Also, during the conversation, I gave him the names of three pastors that I thought might be good to seek counsel from, or maybe be a candidate for the position. The first person on that list that I gave him Pastor Matthew Stuckey. And I also mentioned to Deacon Oliver during this conversation that, sorry, there's like this guy just blowing the leaves during the video right by my window. Getting distracted, sorry. During this time, I mentioned to Deacon Oliver, I had a conversation with Roger Jimenez in 2023 during the escrow time for the building. And I talked to him quite a bit during that time and during the negotiations, during escrow. And I had specifically asked him, I said, in the case that you were to die, what was your plan? What would you do? Because obviously that's everyone's worst nightmare, to have their pastor just die and you don't know what to do, right? He actually mentioned to me in 2023 that he would want Pastor Stuckey to come out, not only help with the transition, maybe even take over as pastor temporarily. And I just bring that up to just throw out there. It's crazy that he wasn't even reached out to during this transition, for counsel or as even requested to be a candidate. So yeah, I had that conversation with Deacon, and when I was out soul winning with him on January 17th of this year, 2026. And I referred back to that conversation I had with Roger in 2023. On that same Saturday, on the 17th, there was a picnic that was arranged by one of the church members of Verity. And a lot of the members were there, and the trustees were there. At least Oliver and Graham was there. I can't remember if Jose was there. I remember hearing men of the church, they everyone's talking about it. Everyone's asking questions. And one of the men actually who still goes to Verity specifically asked or told Brother Oliver, I recommend, he was saying like, maybe it'd be a good idea to get the men of the church together and just tell them like who the trustees were considering to be candidates, to just to make sure that you don't pick somebody that most of the people in the church would not support or like, and then later have a church split over that. And, I don't think that they really got counsel from anyone, the trustees, during that time. And they definitely, most certainly did not disclose anything about their choices or decisions to the church family during that time. Over the next few days, January 18th through January 21st, 2025, I had multiple conversations with Deacon Oliver, just sharing my thoughts and opinions about the transition. During these talks, especially after Sunday the 18th, Oliver had seemed to be much more happy and at peace. He mentioned on Wednesday, January 21st, he mentioned on that Monday, speaking forward of the Wednesday, that we would be getting good news. Also during this talk, on that either Monday or Tuesday or early Wednesday, I specifically talked to him about, I referred back to the three men that I mentioned three men to him previously when I went soul winning with him. I mentioned three men that I would suggest that he call for counsel or as a candidate. And I referred back to that conversation, and Pastor Bajarnski was my third choice in that list. And I talked to him why I put him on the third of the list. And I told him, because I was concerned, I'm just going to be honest with you, I was concerned they were going to consider him at the first and not Pastor Stuckey, who I thought should be talked to as well. And sure enough, that's what happened later. But the reason why I told him that I put him in the third position was because, number one, he was unclear on his doctrine on calling upon the name of the Lord. Yeah, he had preached very oddly about that in the past. Like, I think in the past year, 2025, and told him what was said, so on and so forth. Deacon Oliver appreciated it, said he would discuss it with him and make sure not to worry, kept telling me not to worry about it, that they were going to take care of it. And the other reason why I put Pastor Bajarnski on the third of the position was because I didn't know him that well. And I feel like a lot of the men at Verity, yes, they knew him back years ago, but I feel like Pastor Bajarnski he's not very outspoken and strong about a lot of doctrine. So that was why I was worried. Was just not knowing fully his doctrinal stance in a lot of areas, and primarily calling upon the name of the Lord, which is extremely important. It's a fundamental doctrine. It's salvation, right? It's the gospel. So yeah, I gave him those reasons why I was concerned about Pastor Bajarnski, because I just had a hunch that they were talking to him, number one, without talking to the others. I should clarify it. I had mixed thoughts at the time, but maybe I thought maybe they were talking to all three of the people I thought about. I don't know. I didn't really know. We didn't know if they were getting counsel, outside counsel or not. On Wednesday, January 21st, 2026, Pastor Jared Bajarnski was announced as the new pastor, and we also found out that he had actually previously accepted the position and said he would take it on January 18th, Sunday, January 18th, 2025. It just had not been announced to us until that Wednesday, the 21st. On Friday, January 23rd, 2026, there was a private men's meeting and dinner where Pastor Bajarnski, he wanted to have fellowship with the men and meet anyone he hasn't met before and visit with people he hasn't met in a long time. And he wanted to dispel a lot of rumors, I guess, that have been spread about him during this time. And those rumors were people, I guess there was rumors that he was racist and stuff. And obviously there was rumors that he was not against feminism, not against divorce. There was rumors that he was a flat earther, that he believed in geocentricity. And lastly, he mentioned that there was rumors that he doesn't believe in calling upon the name of the Lord. And he went through all of those rumors and said the reasons why they're not true. And when he got to calling upon the name of the Lord, this is what he said. He said he went back and re-listened to an old sermon by Roger Menes on calling upon the name of the Lord. And he said he agreed with it. So take that however you want. At this point, you know, I had high hopes for Verity. You know, I honestly thought, okay, we're going to be okay. I thought we were going to be okay. And on January 24th, Saturday, January 24th, 2026. Let me just say this really quick before I read this. Before that Saturday, the 24th of January, 2026, I had began to voice to Deacon Oliver that I felt that this moral sin should be disclosed to the church. And he recommended that I talk to Pastor Jared. So Pastor Jared actually requested that I get paired with him that Saturday at soul winning. So I did. And we talked about it. He told me the reasons why he didn't want to reveal the sin. And he also told me that he actually did not know what the sin was until after he became pastor. And he purposely did not want to know and did not ask to know what that sin was. And, but he found out indirectly later. And, you know, we talked about that. He told me the reasons why he didn't want to reveal it. He didn't want to reveal it because he wanted Roger's family to still come to Verity even after that. And, during that conversation also, I mentioned to him how that I felt that Roger Jimenez, it was not an entirely and unpressured resignation. You know, and this is the way I put it to him. I said, it feels like when, let's say somebody gets fired, for example, and so you're telling somebody you're fired and he's like, you know, I quit. Actually, I'm not fired. I quit. So, and then they go tell the whole world that they quit and he wasn't fired. So it felt like it was like that situation. And this is not in my notes either, but you know, I told him that, you know, I felt like it was that, like that situation. And I also told him, I said, you know, this is what I told him. I said, you know, I feel that I could move on like later in the future, years down the road or 6 months down the road or whatever. Let's say if Roger came back, I told him, I said, I feel that it wouldn't bother me and I could forgive Roger and move on. But I told him, I said, I feel like most people would not be able to do that is what I told him. And I said, I feel like it would turn into a Matthew 18 situation where he could literally never come back to Verity unless he, like people's bitterness with him was resolved over this. And he, you know, maybe confessed to his friends, right? Before he came back and so that they could forgive him and have mercy and move on. And so anyways, yeah, he told me why he didn't want to reveal it. Those are the reasons why he wouldn't reveal it. I told him the reasons why I think it should be revealed. But at that point, even though, you know, I felt the sin should be revealed, I was willing to move on and still serve and support Verity. On March 8th, 2025, Pastor Stuckey preached a sermon exposing the ongoing theft that Roger Jimenez had committed over the last several years. I'm sorry, if I said 2025, being 26, March 8th, 2026. He preached that sermon exposing all the theft that Roger had done over the years to his mission work there and his church. And Pastor Jared got up and said that he was surprised. Pastor Jared said he was surprised. And he mentioned that there was a percentage of the donations and not all of the donations that had gone to the Philippines over the years. And he also said, quote, to Deacon Oliver's credit, he said this. He said this was one of the first things that Deacon Oliver had brought to his attention when he took over at the end of January, and he immediately changed it to dollar for dollar. And he also said after that, he said, that's just my personal opinion. I'm not throwing shade on either side of this thing. Then he goes to mention an email where the split agreement that Roger came up with was agreed upon, and he said that it was a much better deal than, let me see here, sorry. He said that it was a much better deal than what Pastor Stuckey had requested. That's what was being said, okay? At this point, you know, all the church was just shocked. Honestly, we were just shocked. And, you know, Pastor Jared made it look like Deacon Oliver had known this whole time that it was a problem. That's how he made it look. It looked like Deacon Oliver knew all along there was a problem. And as soon as Pastor Jared took over, Deacon Oliver's like, we got to fix this. That's exactly the way it sounded. The next day on March the 9th, I called Roger Jimenez. Now, yeah, you know, keep in mind this. Remember how at the end of his resignation, you know, we all had an opportunity to talk to him and he said I could keep in touch with him, right? So I kept in touch with him. He actually had requested that I be a reference for him for a job when he applied for a job, a specific job. And, you know, I felt like since Roger was my friend, since he said I could keep in touch with him, and since, you know, we had already been in communication recently, that I could just call him up real quick and see what he has to say in regards to all of these claims, right? So I did. And let me just continue here. Let me just say this. So I called him up March the 9th, 2026. March the 9th, 2026. This was last week. And I just straight up asked him, you know, obviously, you know, what do you, I'm sure you heard about Pastor Stuckey and everything he's claiming. And, so I asked him, you know, what did he have to say to all of it, right? And we had a very long conversation, but I'll pretty much summarize the cliff notes for you. Basically, he said that Stuckey was lying and that he said that he had no idea that these were earmarked for him. He told me things like anytime money came in, that he would make sure it got to him, that anytime money came in that was specifically for Matthew Stuckey or the missions over there, he would make sure that it got to him. He gave me a couple stories. He talked about how somebody gave him a check one time for Matthew Stuckey, and he made sure that Pastor Stuckey got it. He also mentioned that money came in for the UK church that I think Pastor Thompson was leading at the time. He made sure it came got over there for then as well. He mentioned that he went back to when the church was started in the Philippines and mentioned that they spent a lot of money to get that going. And we talked in depth. You know, I asked him, I'm like, you know, when online donations came in, I was like, you know, there's the memo section, right? I'm like, did you see, when Pastor Stuckey would send do all the books or whatever, did he disclose to you, Roger, that these memos that say BBC Manila, did he? And he said no. He said that Pastor Stuckey was not disclosing this to him. The earmarks, specifically talking about all the donations that were noted to be going to him specifically. And he pretty much played the ignorance game on that call and said that Pastor Stuckey was lying. And I'm not going to say who, but I called up somebody that I know, a pastor friend. And soon there, either I call him or I text him. I can't remember exactly, but I pretty much, and he can attest to this. I was like, you know, I don't think there was actually any theft. I told him, I'm like, I got off the phone with Roger directly and said, I don't think there's any theft at all. I think it was just, I think that there was no theft. I'm like, I brought up like, you know, sometimes there's missions organizations. And I grew up in church and I went to many missions conferences, but there's certain missionaries that'll have like missions organizations that'll be like a clearinghouse, you could say, where they'll take in the donations for that missionary. And it is known that that organization will keep part of the funds for whatever salaries, administrative costs, et cetera. And I thought, well, maybe, and Roger actually said this on the call that is Stuckey thinking that just all missions in general, the general category missions, is supposed to go to him? And so I got off that call and I'm like, because I trusted Roger at the time, right? And I hear all these claims the day before. I'm like, holy crap. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe there really wasn't money stolen necessarily here, right? Maybe it wasn't really theft. Maybe it really wasn't wrong what happened. And I actually called Pastor Jared that evening, and he told me straight up that Roger did know. He for sure knew the memos. He knew the earmarks. He knew that he knew that there was money meant for Manila that didn't go there. Pastor told me. Pastor Jared told me. Roger knew that there was money meant for Manila and intentionally did not send it to them. Money that the donors thought they were sending to Manila that we advertised we would send over there that did not go over there. That was Monday night. So obviously Pastor Stuckey did a podcast on Tuesday night. I listened to that Wednesday night. I told my wife, let's just see what is said on Wednesday before we really mentally make a decision. And of course, Wednesday night, Pastor Jared got up and confirmed that this money had been withheld from VBC Manila and Pastor Stuckey. It had been confirmed. And that was a shock. And it was crazy. Just, this is insane. This is wild. Okay. Everyone's thinking and feeling. The next day, I'm going to pull up my call log to make sure I remember the order of conversations here. It was recent. Actually, you know what? I won't go back enough. But believe it was in the morning, that Thursday the 12th. I called Roger and asked him if I could ask him a few questions. The first question, I actually had a note written. Let me see if I can pull that note up before I called him. And I had a few questions written down. The first question I asked him was this. And I have this note that I have on my computer here. And I specifically asked him, I said, it has been investigated and came to light that you did, in fact, know that money specifically marked for Manila has been withheld from them for years. I said, Pastor Bizarnski sees this and has confirmed this, and Pastor Stuckey has seen this and confirmed this. I said, why did you lie to me on Monday? And he said, I didn't lie to you Monday. I admitted that I did that. And I just, my head just like, what? I was like, what? I said, you're flipping a 180 on me here. And he's like, well, I'm not justifying that it happened. I'm not justifying that it happened, you know. But I did tell you Monday that I did it. And I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, this is already starting off bad. This is bad here, okay? And then he goes on to say, you know, Pastor Stuckey's paraphrasing things. Pastor Stuckey agreed to this. Pastor Stuckey, and he actually said this to me on Monday as well, but he repeated it on Thursday. He kept saying, like, Pastor Stuckey knew that, you know, I lost my platform. I don't have a platform to speak now. And, you know, I had told him Monday, I'm like, you know, you could make a video and just defend yourself. I told him that Monday. I'm like, you could make a video and I'm sure everyone would watch it. You know, I even told him Thursday, like, you know, I would, you know, I think I told him that Monday, like, I could help you with this. Let's make a video, you know, if you're innocent here with these claims. And he kept saying, I don't have a platform. Stuckey knew, you know, Stuckey waited, and now, you know, I lost my position as pastor. And then, like, he knew I don't have a platform now, basically saying he doesn't have a voice, which he could come out and say what he wants to say. He could, but he won't, unfortunately, or hasn't. So that was the beginning of the conversation. And then he starts to say, like, you know, first of all, you shouldn't be rude to me. And he's saying that I was being rude to him. And I was being pretty hard on him, honestly. Not as hard as Pastor Anderson was back in 2024, though. but I was being hard on him. And, you know, if Roger's listening to this, let me tell you, Roger, I care about you and I love you. And that's why I called you then on Thursday. I do. And anyway, so we're talking and he's saying, like, Pastor Stuckey's a liar. Pastor Stuckey is paraphrasing things. Like, I can show you the emails. I can show you the emails. He's telling me this on Thursday. So let me backtrack here real quick. On Monday, he told me the same thing. Like, I can show you the emails. Like, I can send them to you. And on Monday, I'm like, no, don't worry about it. I trust you. Thursday, he says the same thing. Like, I can send you the emails. And I'm like, well, send them to me then. He's like, I got the emails. I'm like, well, send them to me then. And then he goes on to say, like, well, who are you that you should demand that I send you these emails? And I said, well, who am I? Well, I mean, I've been your friend for 9 years. You've been my pastor for 9 years. I care about you. You said I could keep in touch with you. You've literally asked me to be a reference for you in the last week. I said, have I not been a friend? Have we not been, you know, have you not been my pastor for years? And I said, how would it make you feel if a friend of yours got accused of something? He's saying all the accusations are false, but then he won't send you the proof to prove himself innocent. How do you think that would make him look? And again, he started to say something like, you know, you're being rude, you should be blah, 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 whatever. He was offended, obviously, that I'm saying all this. And so anyways, we talked about that. We talked about the donations. And, you know, I kept saying, like, you know, you knew Stucky has the emails where he's like asking you for the money over and over and over again. And he just repeatedly was like, no, 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 no. And just did not send him the money. You know, I was pretty pissed at this point. I was very pissed at him. I mean, this is literally theft. This is wicked. This has been going on for years. And, anyways, let me jump ahead of the conversation. So the theft, that was just bad. That was wicked. I was pissed off as heck. And let me rewind just a little bit here. Okay. And this is coming back to me. I actually called Shaw that morning before I called Roger, because of the fact that I heard when that he was leaving the church, and I was very shocked. Shaw is a good friend of mine. And I actually called Shaw. He told me everything he knows. Go back and listen to his, I don't want to take too much time up here. Go back and listen to his testimony. He told me all of that. Ava told me everything that she knew, and I was just shocked. So I already knew that I knew at least there was a severance. I didn't know any other details about that. Neither did Shaw. He knew that there was a severance. He knew that they were being hush-hush about it, being quiet about it. And during that conversation, like, it got pretty heated, and I was just like, Roger, like, you were wicked. You were wicked as, I don't know how I worded it, but I'm like, this is just absolutely insane. Like, you're wicked for literally threatening to sue the church if they defame you, that they reveal certain things about you and don't pay you a severance, and refusing to step down, literally the Tuesday. I'm getting ahead of myself on what I found out, but I found out that literally the Tuesday before he resigned, he literally was refusing to step down. I refuse to step down unless you agree to pay me, agree to shut up about me, and, you know, sign this agreement, and which gives me right to sue you if you break this contract. I said, how wicked of you to threaten to sue someone. Well, I didn't threaten to sue somebody. I'm like, well, you did on paper. You did threaten to sue on paper. And I'm like, this is wicked. This is bad. You know what? NDAs are normal in ministry. NDAs are very normal in ministry. And he said NDA, by the way, and that'll be important to note that. Yes, it was not an NDA. I know Graham's probably going to listen to this, but like, it's not an NDA. Okay, shut up. I'm not stupid. Okay. Yes, it's not an NDA, but it has similar wording, similar verbiage, similar concepts in it. Okay. Good night. But yeah, he was using the word NDA. He's like, I could have sued them because they already broke it. And I'm like, but I didn't, he said. And I'm like, yeah, but you threatened to do so on paper. And, so we talk about that. I'm like, this is wicked. This is crazy. This is insane. And then I'm like, you know, I wanted to talk about the moral sin, but like, how am I going to talk about it? So I just straight up and just changed the topic randomly. And I'm like, did you get caught? Did you get caught? He ignored me. acted like I didn't even ask him the question. I asked him three times, ignored it, did not even respond to it. And during this entire time, he was completely unapologetic for all the thievery that he had done to Pastor Stuckey, completely unremorseful, completely unapologetic. And at the very end, I told him, I said, I care about you, Roger. I care about your family. And I said, you should give two apologies. I said, you owe the church an apology for committing a sin that disqualified you. And I'm hearing, you know, some of these things from Shaw that he confirmed, and I confirmed this later. I'm getting it. I'll get to that. But Shaw confirmed, you know, that, and I confirmed later that he did commit a major sin that did disqualify him and he had to step down. I'm like, that's wicked that you, you know, refused to step down that Tuesday before the Thursday, so on and so forth. And I said, you owe the church an apology for committing this sin and, you know, failing as a pastor. Like, you owe the church an apology. I said, I literally told him, I said, that was the most ChatGPT garbage resignation I've ever seen. I'm like, good night. Good night. And I told him, I said, you owe the church an apology for the immoral sin or whatever. And I said, you owe everyone an apology and Pastor Stuckey an apology for stealing from him for years, not giving that money back. So he owes two apologies, I said. And that was the end of the conversation. I said, I may never talk to you again, but I hope that you get right. I care about you. I love you. That was pretty much the end of the conversation there. So at this point, I had already heard everything that Shaw said, called Roger, confronted him on some of those things. And so, you know, Roger indirectly admitted some of it already, right? The contract they already had, the contract they already had, he wouldn't answer if he got caught, you know, the theft that he did to Pastor Stuckey. So I called Pastor Jared first. He was my pastor at the time, so I called him first before I would call Oliver about any of the claims against him. Called Pastor Jared, and we talked about the severance package. We talked about the transition. And something that Pastor Jared told me, because I told him about the conversation with Roger, and he was pretty blown away. And even Pastor Jared admitted on that call, Roger is a liar and a manipulator. It came out of his own mouth, Pastor Jared. And during this call, he confirmed to me that on the severance package, there was non-defamation verbiage. And, you know, I told him, I said, look, you know, I do contracts all the time. I do commercial and residential real estate. I deal with NDAs in commercial real estate a lot, quite a bit. And, you know, I'm like, in contract world, there's always the, you know, like a consequence or whatever for breaking the contract, right? And I'm like, there has to be in this contract threat of lawsuit. I'm like, Roger already admitted that he could have sued because apparently he thinks they already broke it, their silence agreement or whatever. And he confirmed to me, he's like, yes, I do remember hearing when we were going through it that there was non-defamation verbiage on it. He said he actually got, this is what he told me. He said, when they started going through it, I was bothered. I'm like, this is not right. You shouldn't have signed this contract. I'm not, you know, he's like, he told Brother Grant, Brother Oliver, this is not right. You shouldn't have signed this, shouldn't agree to this. And he said he didn't even go through the whole thing. He was already bothered. And he said, and I told him, I'm like, there's for sure a threat of lawsuit in there. And he's like, well, I'm going to have to go back and look at it. But you know, so it's confirmed not only by my conversation with Roger, but also with Jared that there's non-defamation verbiage in there. There's threat of lawsuit in there. And later in conversation, I double confirmed as well, that with Oliver, and with through other people at Verity, I'll just say that they just reinforced that for sure Roger could sue if they came out against him or whatever, right? And exposed things about him that were supposed to be kept silent on the agreement, right? So Jared confirmed that. Jared said that he was against it as soon as it began to get read. And he said that Oliver and Brother Graham felt very, very bad about it. Graham offered to pay it multiple times, and Jared repeatedly said, no, 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 no. And Pastor Jared told me that he was going to pay for it. He said he was going to pay for it out of his own pocket. And to my knowledge, he's already paid for it, paid for the severance. And so, you know, he confirmed all of that. I called Oliver later, and I talked to him about the transition, because obviously I heard a lot of things about how he was pressured and had to sign something and so on and so forth. And Oliver confirmed to me that he met with Joanne privately, and Joanne confided in them about how wicked and bad the sin was and how long it had been going on, and that it had been going on for like a year. Or I should say, Roger knew that he should have stepped down for a year prior. And it had been going on for a long time, whatever that long time is. You know, Oliver didn't say to me, and he definitely didn't say to Shaw how long it had been. He confirmed that. He confirmed that he agreed that he should step down, absolutely, and should have stepped down a long time ago. He confirmed to me that on that Tuesday, Roger refused to step down and said, sign this paper to pay me. And basically, it was a shut-up document. You could say that. It was the shut-up document. Sign this agreement, promising to pay me, and shut up about me, and not defame me, or I could sue you. That was what the contract was. He confirmed it to me when I called him. He said, this is how he described it. He said that Tuesday, he had a meeting with Roger. I think Brother Graham was there, too. I'm not sure if Graham was in the room or not when this happened. But Roger chewed him out. Ripped him to shreds. And obviously Oliver didn't necessarily describe it like that, but he said, this is how he did describe it. He said it was the worst day of his life. He said that he had literally had a mental breakdown. And he said he's never been more humiliated in his whole life. And the contract was true, and he signed it. So just for the Verity family, you may be told, you may be being told right now that he was not coerced into signing that. He was not pressured into signing that. But in reality, he was. He was coerced into signing that. He was pressured into signing that. And he admitted it. He knows it. And it is a lie. And I talked to Oliver about this. I'm like, you guys made it out to be that, number one, that he didn't need to step down, that he could have stayed pastor, and he willingly and entirely on his own stepped down, even though Joanne like panicked and confided in you guys, told him that he needs to step down, all of this stuff. Let me back up really quick, you know, just for full transparency. Oliver told me, he told me that on January the 5th, keep in mind, this is like literally 3 days after I had Roger Jimenez over for dinner with my wife. On January the 5th, I want to make sure I disclose everything Oliver told me and not just leaving out stuff purposely. Oliver told me that he did communicate with Roger, I don't know if it was by text or phone, and Roger told him that he was going to step down because of sin on January the 5th of this year. And later on January, I think my calendar here, and later on January the 10th, that is when the meeting with Joanne happened. So January 5th, Roger communicated he's going to step down to Oliver. And on January 10th, he had Joanne had that meeting where she confided in them, Oliver and Melody. And how that he needed to step down. He should have stepped down a year ago, so on and so forth. It was really bad, blah, blah, blah. And then Oliver confirmed that Shaw had reached out and they welcomed them over to their home to discuss this, just everything, the transition, or like what happened, the transition, so on and so forth, because obviously Shaw found out that Monday morning that Roger was going to resign, so it was just shocking. So Shaw wanted to just sit down and talk about it, and all confirmed that happened. And just to the Verity family, you may be hearing that Oliver, that Shaw literally showed up unannounced at Oliver's house. Let me just tell you that right now, that is an absolute lie. Oliver was welcoming Shaw over. Oliver and them met for 3 hours. You know, Oliver confirmed all of this to me. And then Tuesday rolls around. Oliver, Melody, and Joanne are all like, this is wicked as heck. Absolutely insane. He should have stepped down a year ago. And then Tuesday rolls around. And instead of stepping down, it's like, wait, let's wait 2 days. Graham comes in. Here's the contract. And Oliver confirmed to me that Roger said he's not going to step down unless they put the severance package on paper with, you know, the full contract language, full non-defamation language, full agreement to not defame Roger, not to reveal certain secrets about him that were private, and so on and so forth. Obviously, I don't think the mortal sin was on there, of course. It was probably just a contract basically saying they're not going to defame him, they're not going to reveal things that are private, so on and so forth, right? Which would include the mortal sin. He confirmed that. He literally, Oliver told me himself, Roger was not going to step down. He was spiraling out of control, and chewed him out, and he, all of that. And I told Oliver, I'm like, you know, that was not what you guys were conveying to the Verity family. You conveyed that he stepped down on his own. It was just all praise and lifting up this man and keeping his image good. But in reality, it wasn't that good. In reality, he was pressured to step down, and Oliver just signed it to get him to step down because he's spiraling out of control. And Graham saying he regrets it. Graham saying, I'll pay for it. Jared saying, no, I'll pay for it. Graham saying, I don't think he should have stepped down. And those were the big conversations I had during that time. And I also had spoken to Pastor Stuckey, FYI, and confirmed some things as well, just from his perspective. And let me just say this when I want to wrap this up. Let me get some notes here. I told Oliver, and I told both Pastor Jared and Oliver, I said to both of them, I said, I do not believe it's good, first of all, that to an unrepentant man, that you were going to take church funds and use it to pay this guy off, to make him quit, okay? Take church funds to make him quit, to make him step down, and then literally make it illegal for you to disclose these bad things about him and sign that contract. I said, I told Oliver, you know, if we just talk to the men about this and you disclose what happened during the transition and just admit your fault, and, you know, I said, people would have huge respect for you. People would have mercy. And I told Pastor Jared the same thing. I'm like, if we could just, you know, I feel like the men of the church should know these things. They should, you know, I feel like people's respect for you guys would go up greatly if you guys did have a meeting with the men. And so I finished all those conversations that Friday, I believe it was. And I told my wife that night, I said, and just so you know, also Wednesday night as well, we really did not like the fact that Pastor Jared, for whatever reason, would not call what Roger Jimenez did sin. Like, he just went real light on Roger Jimenez and all of his sin. He did not rebuke before all, like the Bible says. There was no rebuking. There was just like, it was unethical. It was immoral. It was a problem. The buck stops with the pastor. It was sin. It was wicked. It was evil. Like, true rebuking should be. That already bothered me. And, I kind of conveyed that to Pastor Jared, and he told me that he would think about having a meeting with the men to talk about these things. Oliver said he would think about having a meeting with the men and talk to Pastor Jared about this. And I told my wife Friday, I said, you know, this is absolutely insane. I'm blown away that this has even happened. I'm blown away that the trustees did this. They didn't reach out for counsel. They signed a shut up document just to get him to step down, and was going to use church funds to just get him to step down. That man was not unrepentant, period. And put on this facade of this great image that Roger Jimenez had and did not rebuke before all, like the Bible says. And Pastor Jared, you know, came and became pastor, and even on Wednesday, he did not rebuke before all, like the Bible says, when a sin of the previous leadership was exposed and confirmed. Yes, he condemned it, but in like the lightest possible way. It did not, it, you know, I'm just, it bothered my wife and I. I'm just going to be honest. It bothered me. And Saturday, I told my wife Friday night, I said, we're going to keep going to church. And I'm going to see, because they said they're going to think about having a meeting with the men. Saturday rolls around. I go, I'm a soul winning captain, so I got to get there a little bit early. Got there a little bit early. I was going to lead the music that morning as well, help with the maps and stuff and pairing up or whatever. Or just, I was passing out the maps and going to lead the music and stuff. And Pastor Jared pulled me in his office immediately. He read to me Proverbs 11:13. And he said that, I don't want you to talk about any of this that we talked about in the past few days. We're not going to have a meeting with the men. We decided to just press on without telling anyone about all this. And I don't want you to tell anyone about it. He said, Luke, I feel like you're just parroting new IB talking points. And I stopped him. I said, no, Pastor, no. I said, I feel like the men of Verity deserve to know these things. And the reason why I feel like the men of Verity need to know these things is because Deacon Oliver is one of our leaders. Graham is a trustee of our church, one of our leaders. So is Jose. And I said, the men of the church need to know of these major mistakes that the trustees are making and have made. Because and if they admit it and acknowledge it, then maybe the men of the church can have trust in them again. And he said, well, I'm afraid it's going to go on the internet. I told him, I said, look, Shaw's already talking to people about this. I'm like, it's going to go on the internet. Like, we can't really stop this, unfortunately, I said. And I said, it's going to go out there no matter what. So why don't we just meet with the men and apologize for what was done wrong, acknowledge what was done wrong. That way the men of the church can have trust in their leaders again, trust in their trustees, trust in the deacon, and trust in him as pastor. And he said, no. We're not going to do that. He said, you know, Shaw left just because he's a fan of Pastor Anderson. And he named some other families that left. And he said, they're just fans of Pastor Anderson. Like, do you not think that I have my own conscience? Do you not think that I read my Bible too? Of course I do. I have my own conscience. And I felt it was wrong. And I felt the men of the church should know directly from you guys instead of just letting them find out the other way. And he said, no, we're not going to do that. So I said, all right. Thank you for meeting with me. End of the conversation. I had to go lead the music. I went soul winning. Didn't talk to my partner about that whatsoever. And then I called my wife right after, told her that we're leaving. And this is important for the Verity family to know because this is not being told truthfully. But I told my wife, she asked me, she said, can I tell some of the women why we left? And she typed up a message and sent it to like four ladies and told them why we left. I did not reach out to anybody. She did. I gave her permission to. And literally within 2 hours, there was a last minute meeting scheduled for 5 p.m. against myself and my wife and Shaw and Ava. We were marked and avoided at this private meeting with the men. And my wife did not post it on the internet. She sent it to a few people. I think it was completely justified to do so. And at this point, I believe it is completely justified for me to come on here and to say all that I'm doing, say all that I'm saying and why I'm leaving Verity. So hopefully that information is, I hope that the people of Verity take this information and realize that Verity is a sinking ship. Verity is a sinking ship, and I believe it's been leaking a long time, but it's just gushing out right now. I'm sorry. And you need to get out. You need to get out. The leadership there, we cannot trust the leadership there because they want to be all hush-hush about every thing they do, and maybe I'm exaggerating there, you know, but the fact that they were completely hush hush, didn't seek counsel during this entire transition, almost gave church funds to just to get somebody to step down, force them down. Pastor Jared ended up coming paying it later. You know, we're as a church, we're not looking at the thievery against Pastor Stuckey, right? It was wrong. It was sin. It wasn't just unethical. It was sin. It was wicked as hell. You know, we need to get right on these things, and we need to acknowledge wrong, and we need to acknowledge truth. So think about these things. If any of you at Verity have questions, you got my number. Call me. I don't want to just call everybody there. If you want to call me, you can call me. I can answer any questions you have. So hopefully that's helpful. Godspeed. Let me just add something at the end here really quick. Pastor Jared has made it known that to multiple people, and he's told everyone at Verity, especially all the men in that meeting on Saturday, that he would not reveal Roger Jimenez's sin at all. And he said the reason why he wouldn't, he mentioned to some of us, is because he found out through a counseling session. And let me just tell you right now, he has broken that commitment to never reveal it. He has broken it. And I know he doesn't want people to know that, but it needs to be known. So on the conversation I had with Pastor Jared on, I think it was Friday, we were talking about the mortal sin partially, and he told me, he kept saying, well, you know, everyone already knows what it is. Everyone already knows what it is. And I'm like, well, no, everyone doesn't know what it is. And I don't know what it is. And he said, yeah, you know what it is. And I'm like, what, pornography? And he said, there you go. So let me just say this. I do not believe that pornography is the full description of what happened. I think it was way worse. You know, pornography, you could say pornography and it could just be like, you know, there's a spectrum of pornography, right? He could have been spending money on pornography. He could have been, you know, messaging women online, right? I mean, it could have been far worse than watching videos. But even if it was just watching videos, and there's literally people in Verity right now that think that somebody who's severely addicted to pornography is still okay remaining pastor, like as long as they fix it. Like they, even if, you know, they're addicted to pornography severely for extended period of time, they think that if they just fix it, then they're fine. They can just remain pastor. And I'm sorry, I disagree with that majorly, but I don't even think it was just basic pornography. I think it was way worse. I don't, because, you know, you can go back to and re-listen to, you know, the what happened with Oliver and how he found out and all this stuff, right? So something to keep in mind, Pastor Jared has broken that commitment to keep it quiet. And he even said it to another person at Verity that's no longer there. I'm not going to say his name because I'm not sure if he wants me to. But he was on the phone with this guy as well, and he said the exact same thing, and he can attest to it. So I thought that's important for everyone to know. My goal is not to harm Verity. I love Verity. I love everyone there. I love Roger Jimenez. I want him to get right. I want him to acknowledge his sin and repent. And I want all the people of Verity, I want to be soul winning with you guys even 10 years from now. And that can happen, but it if you're just going to stay on this ship that's sinking, the ship will be at the bottom of the sea in 10 years or less than a year. Who knows? Nobody knows the future. But please pray about this, Verity. Pray about the things that I disclosed on this. Pray about the scriptures that I gave in the beginning. And put the Bible first, not man. Not feelings, not emotions. Put the Bible first, put truth first, and honesty and integrity. Pray about all of this. Think about all of this, Verity, and especially Verity. Give it some thought. Seek the truth, seek the Bible, seek God. And I hope to see you out there soul winning sometime. Godspeed.